I know that asserting that Christians and Jews are Muslims may sound incredibly convoluted and extremely unpalatable when one hears it for the first time. But it is not so when one accepts the fact that the word Islam has absolutely nothing to do with Muhammad or his Quran, and everything to do with the belief in and or submission to the will of one God. Hence, Christians are Jesus Muslims who follow the gospel of Jesus. Jews are Mosaic Muslims who follow the laws of Moses. And Arabs and other Muhammadan Muslims who follow the cult of Muhammad. This is exactly why I invariably call the followers of Muhammad, Muhammadan Muslims. Not just Muslims. To differentiate them from the Christian and the Mosaic versions of Islam. If any of you has any question, please do not hesitate to call in now or email me at alrasooli, A-L-R-A-S-S-O-O-L-I, @gmail.com. Having established the fact that any and all those who profess the belief in a one and only God are automatically called Muslims without having anything whatsoever to do with Muhammad and his Quran, we have completely disarmed the followers of Muhammad of their unjustified arrogance and monopoly that they are the only true monotheists on earth. The next question, ladies and gentlemen, is the most revealing and devastating on this subject. Is Allah God? This question has not truly and fully been addressed in the last 1400 years. Humanity is reminded by the foremost leaders on earth, both Muslims and non-Muslims, among historians, academicians, clergy, and politicians, that Islam is part and parcel of the Abrahamic faith, that it is the final revelation after the Judeo-Christian ones. Dear listeners, please be aware how extremely important the answer to this question is, because, believe it or not, the whole structure of the belief system of Islam, its existence, its reality, its being, stands or falls on the single concept that Allah, the God of Muhammad and Muslims, is the same as the God of the Bible. Hence, by proving beyond a shadow or even a reasonable doubt, based entirely on the Arabic or any translation of Muhammad's Quran, that not only is Allah not God, but most assuredly Allah is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, then the whole belief system of 1,500 million people called Muslims is made null and void as a religion and is pulverized into the sand particles that emanated originally from the Arabian Peninsula 1,400 years ago to which it belongs. Without anger or violence against the aggression of Muslims all over the world, humanity will have the perfect ammunition to utterly defeat the cult belief system of Islam on the field of knowledge based entirely upon their own scripture. Proving that Allah is not God utterly discredits Islam as a revealed religion and Muhammad's claim for prophethood, demonstrating that Muhammad was, among other unsavory characteristics, a narcissistic, pathological liar. Can I prove these offensive sounding statements and assertions? Of course I can. And do so in over 20 ways in less than 60 seconds each way. As ostentatious and audacious and outrageous this may sound to the politically correct and Quran ignoramus ears, let me share with you the facts and let us together find out if there is a single human being who can refute any of my revelations. I shall be reciting to you in chapter and verse from Muhammad's Quran and Hadith and may ask rhetorical questions that I shall answer forthwith because we have a time constraint. Without a doubt, many of you may find my revelations too detailed and or difficult to absorb. But I have absolutely no choice but to be very thorough and accurate in my representation of the facts. Otherwise, I cannot prove the most astounding conclusion in the 21st century that Allah is not God. If any of you misses or misunderstands anything, do not worry, since you can refer to this talk at your leisure on the podcast that will be available to you on this channel. Please listen carefully as I deal with the subject of who Allah really is. Calling Allah God is a deliberate misrepresentation by the Arabs and Muslims of both language and facts to confuse and deceive people who are ignorant of the language, the Arabic, and history of the Arabs. In Arabic, Al-Ilah or Ilah means God. Allah, on the other hand, is just the name of a God. Just like Jupiter was the name of the king among the gods of the Romans, or Zeus was the name among the Greek gods. Aphrodite, Venus, Hercules, Odin, etc. are only names of pagan deities. Similarly, the name of the supreme rock god of the Kaaba among the tribe of Muhammad, the Quraysh of Mecca, was called Allah. They are all not God, but the names of pagan gods. Muhammad's father, for example, who was a pagan, that is before Islam, was called Abdullah, meaning the slave of Allah. Hence the name Allah was not Muhammad's invention or inspiration, because it was already in existence among the pagan Arabs centuries before Muhammad and his Quran. To further prove my point, take the Shahada of the Muhammadan Muslim, that is, his declaration of faith, which says, when translated to English, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In Arabic, it goes like this. La ilaha illallah wa Muhammad Rasulullah, which literally means that Allah is the name of God, ilah, and that Muhammad is the name of the messenger of Allah. If, on the one hand, Allah is God, then it should have said, there is no Allah but Allah, and Muhammad is messenger of Allah. Or, there is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. But the Shahada does not say that, because in reality Allah is only the name of a God. In this Quran, Muhammad very conveniently metamorphosed the supreme rock god of pagan Arabia called Allah into the God of Jesus, Moses and Abraham to give Muhammad and his concocted scripture the aura of sanctity and divinity. Now let me explain my use of the expression the supreme rock god of pagan Arabia. When Muhammad finally subjugated the Quraysh tribe in Mecca and ordered the destruction of about 360 gods and goddesses in stone inside the Kaaba in the year 632 AD, he left only one stone unmolested embedded into the wall of the Kaaba. Most Muhammadan Muslims have never been told or are ignorant of the following fact, as recorded in the tradition of the Arabs themselves, that the holiest rock of the Kaaba had always been, and still is, what they call the Black Stone, a meteorite that was venerated by the pagan Arabs centuries before Muhammad Islamized it, by wrapping it up with a new and totally concocted historical and theological background that he plagiarized, plundered, pirated, and or perverted from the Bible. It would have been inconceivable and utterly illogical for the pagan Arabs not to have had a representation of Allah, the supreme God. The Black Stone epitomized in their religion the spiritual home of the supreme God of pagan Arabs, that Muhammad, who according to the hadith actually venerated it, had no choice but to keep it, the Black Stone. Muhammad revered the Black Stone so much that he initiated the habit of kissing it, before which the pagan Arabs did not do so. In the traditions of Islam, as recorded by Bukhari and Muslim Hadith, they report that Umar ibn al-Khattab, who was Muhammad's intimate companion and brother-in-law, and later became the second successor to Muhammad, approached the black stone and kissed it. Then he said, "By Allah, I know that you are a mere stone that can neither harm nor do any good. For if I had not seen the Prophet kissing you, I would not have ever kissed you." This is an extremely interesting statement from a man who used to be a pagan. His conversion to monotheism was so complete that he was able to make the above statement while his Prophet Muhammad was actually venerating an idol. Most human beings, whether followers of Muhammad or not, do not know that almost every single act and fetish performed by the followers of Muhammad for the last 1400 years are the exact replica of what the pagan Arabs did before Muhammad and his version of Islam. For example, the city of Mecca is holy to the Muslims. Mecca was holy to the pagan Arab centuries before them. The Kaaba, the imposing cubical building draped in black, around which the Muslims circumambulate, was holy to the pagan Arabs who also circumambulated the Kaaba. All the in-between acts of veneration, dress, and recitation by the current Muslims are the same now as they were 1400 years ago among the pagan Arabs. The single most important difference is that Muhammad made Allah and only Allah, the God of Islam, having ordered the destruction of the other 360 deities in stone. In summation of all the above, Allah was only the name of the supreme God of the pagan Arabs that Muhammad conveniently transformed into the one and only God of Islam and claimed that he is the same as the God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Now let me share with you how to prove beyond a shadow or even a reasonable doubt that Allah, the God of Muhammad and Islam, is most assuredly not the same as the God of the Bible. Case 1. Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 46. "And in their footsteps we, Allah, sent Jesus, the son of Mary, confirming the Torah, law of Moses, that had come before him. We sent him the Gospels, Injil. Therein was guidance and light and confirmation of the Torah that had come before him." Let me explain the inherent implications of this verse. First, Allah proclaims that he revealed the Torah, the five books of the Bible, comprising Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, to Moses. Allah says so. Second, the same verse also asserts that it was Allah, the God of the Muslims, who revealed the Gospels, Injil, all four of them, to Jesus, after confirming Allah's revelations to Moses. Dear listeners, anyone with two brain cells of logic who knows the New Testament would also know that the Gospels were never revealed to Jesus by anyone, nor did Jesus write them up, since they were composed 50 to 150 years after Jesus was dead. Hence, you and I should raise the simplest of questions to the followers of Muhammad and to logic. How is it possible for Allah, if Allah were the same as the God, the omniscient God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, not know this fact? How could the angel Gabriel, the alleged messenger of Allah, who 620 years earlier predicted the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus, deceive Muhammad with such a blatant lie? Simple answer. The blatantly erroneous Allah, therefore, cannot possibly be the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Arrest case 1. Now, some politically correct with will scream, how can you deny that Allah is not God based on such a flimsy case? My answer is, by the time I finish the next case, in less than 60 seconds also, I dare you to repeat the same asinine remark afterwards. Case 2. An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 157. They said, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubtful knowledge, but only conjecture. For a surety, they killed him not. Dear listeners, as we have already demonstrated in case 1, that the Quran proclaims that it was Allah who revealed the Gospels to Jesus, now let us be the devil's advocate by willingly allowing this utterly stupid lie to be accepted as fact. Let us assume that Allah revealed the Gospels to Jesus. But anyone having read them, the Gospels, would also know that the Gospels, all four of them, assert that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected the third day, thus totally reversing Allah's present revelation. Dear listeners, these Quranic irregularities and anomalies demonstrate that Allah, the God of the Muslims, has not only shown an incredible lack of knowledge, but has in the second case contradicted himself from the first. Furthermore, the title Christ was not part of Jesus' name, because it was bestowed upon Jesus decades after his death. Once again, I would like to point out to you the obvious. If Allah were the same as the omniscient God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, how is it possible that he was deceiving Muhammad or being in such blatant error? After all, in case 1, Al-Ma'idah 5.46, Allah insists that it was he who revealed the Gospels to Jesus. Hence, there is absolutely no margin of error, either linguistically or logically, regarding the meaning of these verses. Moreover, Muhammad's Quran obliterates the whole concept of Christianity with this single verse. Because without death and resurrection, there is no Christianity. Once again, we prove beyond a shadow or even a reasonable doubt, based entirely upon the Arabic scripture of Muhammad's Quran, that Allah cannot possibly be God, and most assuredly not the same as the omniscient God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Case 3. This is from Hadith, from the traditions about Islam. Sahih Muslim Hadith 6707, narrated by Abu Huraira. Allah's Messenger said, Allah, the exalted and glorious, created the clay on Saturday, and he created the mountains on Sunday, and he created the trees on Monday, and he created the things entailing labor on Tuesday, and created light on Wednesday, and he caused the animals to spread on Thursday, and created Adam after Asr, that means in the afternoon, on Friday. The last creation at the last hour of the hours of Friday, i.e. between afternoon and night. Ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to even add a comment to such outrageous falsehood. Case 4. Al-Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 9. Qul, say, it is the day that ye deny him who created the earth in 2 days. He set on earth mountains standing firm, high above it, and bestowed blessing on the earth, and measured therein all things to give them nourishment in due proportion in 4 days. So he completed them as 7 firmaments in 2 days, and he assigned to each heaven his duty and command. Ladies and gentlemen, if one adds up all the days of creation listed above, the result is 8 days. logical question. How is it possible to imply that the angel Gabriel, the messenger of Allah, lied and deceived Muhammad regarding these primal subjects if Allah is the same as the God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus? Case number 5. Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 133. So we sent plagues on them, the Egyptians he's talking about. Wholesale death, 1. Locust, 2. Lice, 3. Frogs, 4. And blood, 5. The Bible, on the other hand, describes the following plagues. 1. Water turning to blood. 2. Frogs. 3. Lice. 4. Swarm of wild beasts. 5. Epidemic. 6. Boils. 7. Hail. 8. Locusts. 9. Darkness. And finally 10. The death of the firstborn. These are 10 plagues and not 9 or 5 as Muhammad Quran asserts. Case 6. Al-Alaq 96.1. Proclaim in the name of thy Lord and Cherisher, who created man out of a cloth of congealed blood. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the verse, very first verse of the Quran, allegedly revealed to Muhammad, contradicts the Bible creation story. Since anyone who has read the Bible would know that Adam, mankind, was created from the dust of the earth, and life was breathed into his nostril by the Almighty. Moreover, a clot of congealed blood is dead material and hence cannot possibly propagate life. Once more, we find out that Allah's version of the very events that Allah said he revealed to Moses in the chapters of Genesis contradicts the Bible. And Muhammad Quran starts with a lie, either because his God Allah perpetrated against him, or because Muhammad was concocting these made-to-order revelations and got each and every which one of them wrong. Simple conclusion once more. Allah cannot possibly be the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Case 7. Another of the most controversial dogmas in Muhammadan Islam is the assertion of his followers that he was illiterate. The case of read or recite. Most people, when reading the Arabic of the Quran, are confused regarding Muhammad's alleged first encounter with the angel Gabriel. Did Gabriel instruct Muhammad to read or to recite? And what are the differences, if any, between the two words? The Oxford Dictionary makes a very important distinction between reading and reciting. It says, read, look at and comprehend the meaning of written or printed matter by mentally interpreting the characteristics or the characters or symbols of which it is composed. Recite, on the other hand, repeat aloud or declaim a poem or a passage from memory before an audience. In the Arabic language also, there are two distinct words describing the two actions of reading and reciting. Iqra means read, that is to read from a document or from writing. Yatlu, on the other hand, means to recite, that is to declaim words from memory. Iqra is actually the first word of the first verse ayah of the first chapter surah of the Quran. But for ungodly reasons, during the compilation of the Quran, it was relegated to the 96th surah instead. As usual, in hundreds upon hundreds of important verses in his Quran, Muhammad, once more, plagiarized and used the story of a vision in the Bible, Isaiah 29:11, that was taught to him by either a learned Jew or a Christian, to dramatic effect, as the first of his Quranic revelations in his alleged confrontation with the angel Gabriel, as depicted in the altered version of events. In Isaiah 29:11-12, the chapter says this, For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, read this, please, they will answer, I can't read it, it's sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this, please, they will answer, I don't know how to read. Muhammad very conveniently copied almost verbatim these words from Isaiah to start his Quran. Surah Al-Alaq 96.1, I repeat. Proclaim, read, in the name of thy Lord and Cherisher who created man of a mere clot of congealed blood. In Arabic, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. In the tradition, Bukhari Hadith 1.3, it said, suddenly the truth descended upon Muhammad while he was in the cave of Hira. The angel came to him and asked him to read. اقرأ. The Prophet said, I do not know how to read. The Prophet added, the angel caught me forcefully and pressed me so hard I could not bear it anymore. He then released me and again asked me to read, and I replied, I do not know how to read. Thereupon he caught me again and pressed me a second time till I could not bear it anymore. He then released me and again asked me to read, but I again replied, I do not know how to read. Thereupon he caught me for the third time and pressed me and then released me and said, read, اقرأ, in the name of your Lord who has created man from a clot. This version of the alleged story of Revelation produces two extremely contentious and important question marks that have to be pointed out that require some logical answers. A. It is inconceivable to accept, based on theological grounds alone, that the angel Gabriel, the supreme messenger of Allah, did not already know that Muhammad could not read. B. It goes even beyond credibility or logic that the angel Gabriel could have revealed to Muhammad a completely different version of the creation of man to that found in its original in the Bible. It is a measure of the total lack of veracity and accuracy of Muhammad's Quran that its first verse ever displays a remarkable ignorance of the biblical story of the creation of mankind. After all, Adam was created from dust, not a clot. The same Torah that the Quran itself repeatedly asserts to have been the word of Allah is perverted and given a completely different version. Why would Allah give two completely and utterly incompatible versions of his own creation story to two different messengers of his, Moses and Muhammad? It is utter blasphemy to imply that Allah, if Allah is the God of Israel and Jesus, could be so inconsistent about the method of his own creation. Dear listeners, please be aware that for doctrinal and theological reasons, the later followers of Muhammad had done their utmost to obfuscate and confuse their followers and others as to the real meaning of the words depicting to read and to recite. Having already established that Allah is not God, and most certainly not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, then it stands to reason that the above revelations further confirm that no angel Gabriel and no God called Allah ever revealed the Quran to Muhammad. The final and most astounding, shocking, and only conclusions based upon all of the above are the following. That every letter, word, dear listeners, in summation of all the early statements I made, that every letter, word, verse, ayah, and chapter, surah in the Quran were never revealed to Muhammad by an angel called Gabriel or a God called Allah. Because each and every letter, word, verse, ayah, and chapter, surah in the Quran are a product of Muhammad's imagination, the secretions of his warped mind, representing his alter ego, his autobiography, but cleverly projected into the unsuspecting mouths of Allah and Gabriel to give them the aura of sanctity and divinity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have a lot of thinking and contemplating to do, because I have, with only a few verses of the Quran and Hadith, indisputably obliterated Muhammad's Quran as a divinely revealed scripture. And Muhammadan Islam is not a religion, but a depraved cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad, based entirely on the lies of Muhammad during 23 years of made-to-order revelations. Furthermore, all the above also utterly discredit Muhammad as a wannabe prophet. To prove how accurate and incontestable my argument, statements and conclusions are, I dare anyone listening, especially Muslims, all 1,500 million of them, and their apologists, to try and disprove anything I have so far revealed. Now, I shall address another colossal fallacy about Islam, the subject of jihad. Jihad in Islam. Muslims and Arabists often inform us, actually with malice aforethought, that jihad means a spiritual struggle. Is this true? Let us together once again explore the facts based entirely on the Arabic Islamic sources in chapter and verse. The word jihad in the Arabic language has its root in jahada, which means, it does mean, struggle, endeavor, strive. Unfortunately, those who explain it in spiritual terms are deliberately and willfully deceiving and misleading the public about its actual meaning, based entirely upon the Arabic language of the Quran and Hadith. In innumerable verses in the Quran and Hadith, jihad means only one thing: physical warfare in the cause of Allah, which in Arabic, it is jihad fi sabilillah. Most human beings, whether followers of Muhammad or not, do not know that Muhammad unilaterally declared total and eternal war 1400 years ago against all unsuspecting human beings who do not believe as he does. Contrary to all the falsified assertions by politically correct Quran ignoramus Westerners, and aided and abetted by Muhammadan Muslims, who have every reason to hide the truth, jihad is not a spiritual struggle for excellence, but a continuous war against all so-called unbelievers or infidels, until all of humanity is either converted to Muhammadan Islam, is subject to Sharia, or is exterminated. In fact, among Muslim scholars, jihad constitutes the unwritten sixth pillar of Muhammadan Islam. The Quran and Hadith are crystal clear in affirming this. The Quran and Hadith contain hundreds of verses attesting to and asserting this dogma. Not once in Muhammad's Quran can anyone find the word jihad mentioned by itself and meaning spiritual struggle. Not once. All the derivatives of the word jihad in the Quran and Hadith represent acts of war and aggression to spread Sharia, the belief in Allah and in Muhammad as the messenger of Allah. Dear listeners, please be aware that to be able to indoctrinate any human being, to be so prepared as to willingly die for a belief, thus becoming a martyr, shaheed, who would be rewarded with eternal sexual, sensual and carnal pleasures in the afterlife, in Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise, than in life on earth, should be considered among the most diabolical weapons of war ever conceived.